doesn't know that early riff from Early in the Morning by the Gap Band? All the songs that will be played in this podcast are available for immediate streaming on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. And welcome to this wonderful Sunday morning, actually afternoon. Even though I was determined to get this all produced and uploaded by noon, that didn't even happen with even falling forward. I start out this episode a little differently, not with my usual intro music, but this is in celebration of the life of one of the founding members of the Gap Band, who passed away just recently. Ronnie Wilson at the age of 73. Rest in power, brother. And this is how we're going to introduce this. I'm probably going to go on record to say one of my most interesting episodes of Tinfro is Reading, because I'm chair dancing, I'm eating, I'm writing, I'm playing, I'm looking and just enjoying this creative spirit. I'm in the throes of NaNoWriMo, and I'm encouraged to continue to create. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you for listening. I Will Survive by the great Gloria Gaynor. And I always thinking about starting this part about talking about COVID, because I can't have the episode without going off about something dumb with COVID. I live in a definite red state where they think that just because they speak nonsense into the atmosphere that it makes it so. No, we're not outside of the pandemic. We're in the full throes. Every time I still see people walking around maskless, it just gives me the itches. And this whole special session dedicated to rolling back all of the public health mandates, including dropping the mask mandate for public schools, I think is complete insanity. And I believe that the tension is up for them to come after clearly blue private companies like my company, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, and I only mention that to say is that several people were let go because they refused to get vaccine or not get the exemption. My thing is good riddance to them. You can't be a healthcare company if you're not going to follow the data. That's kind of a contradiction in terms. And it's the same for everyone from the highest up to the administrative staff. Everybody needs to be treated the same. And I don't understand this anti-vaccine, anti-science sentiment within a healthcare company. That makes absolutely no sense to me. My thing is good riddance to bad rubbish. And if you're not going to comply, you don't need a job. I'm just not independently wealthy, even though I dream of winning the Publishers Clearinghouse or the lotto, because I can't. It is really more difficult being able to do what I like to do or want to do, and always being at the being very vulnerable to the whims of others. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But we're in this whole tide of anti-mandates. I don't get it, y'all. But this is still, we are still in the throes of this massive pandemic, and we got to do what we need to do to survive.
Outstanding.
Yes, that's me singing off key to Outstanding by the Gap Band. I'm still in the Gap Band type of mood since the death of the founding member Ronnie Wilson at the age of 73. This is a celebration of life, just a celebration of people doing great things. So, with that said, this part of the episode, I will be just mentioning or just talking about some of the outstanding things I'm planning to do in this part of the podcast. What exactly am I writing? As I stated in the blog, this month is the National Novel Writing Month, but I'm using this as a way to just keep tabs on not only trying to finish up or considering trying to finish up the listeners. I think I'm in the throes of basically rewriting and revamping that. That's my first sci-fi novel that I started writing late last year or earlier part of this year. But I'm also planning on or wanting to start the writing of a fictional podcast script, 5 acts at this time, called Black Woman Down. I'm really into true crime. And this was basically based loosely on the disappearance and murder of Gabby Petito recently. But Black and Indigenous women have been disappearing and being tossed into mass graves for centuries. So that's my take on that true crime story. And I think I'm almost 10,000 words in. I plan on adding another 1,700 words today. If I get more, great. If not, great. And I will have to submit it for editing and to see if there will be any takers. Someone contacted me on like outside of a service that I've used in the past that escapes me right now. But I submitted an idea, like a story arc, for a small production company, basically getting pennies to base. If I were selected, I would only get pennies to do a whole bunch of work, but at least I would get the writing credit. I am in the process of working with the script now. It's a lot of work. I have the benefit of using Dragon to be able to verbalize because I can talk faster than I can type. The edit is going to be a little bit of a challenge to me, I think. But I'm excited about that. And also, I want to have a subscriber. I want to increase my listening audience, and I also want to get the support for the work that I do. So I want to possibly partner with Britain Media to produce for a paid subscription Quark's Bar. Now, for all the Star Trek nerds out there, Quark's is probably, it's an ugly Ferengi that runs the bar on Deep Space Nine, which is a space station of the same in the Star Trek Next Gen universe. And number one, the show is anchored by a Black man who plays Benjamin Sisko. And y'all gonna make me go and pull up Deep Space Nine Wikipedia. And this guy is best known for Spencer for Hire. He was Hawk. Definitely known for that. He was fine on that. And they made him grow his hair out. This is Avery Hooks Brooks that I'm talking about. Made him grow his hair out. And he plays initially the commander, and then he becomes captain with the Jem'Hadar Wars, or with the Dominion Wars, I should say. And I've always been fascinated by this next themed generation But I'm also, because I also like to eat, one of the things that I like to do is go to these different local restaurants and basically taste their food. And I take pictures of it. In addition to pictures of my dog and my pool, if you navigate to my Instagram feed, you'll also see some, probably some of the best food I've eaten or I've been able to eat and then I share with the general public. But this particular, getting back to the theme of the show, of this new thought of mine, is talking about mezcal and tequila, and also pairing it with great tacos from agave and rye. That's a new restaurant. I think there's several national chain. They're part of a national chain, but this is the second one, or maybe the third here in Tennessee. And I had the pleasure of having their epic lobster taco, which was off the hazy. And they actually, we follow each other on Instagram, and I love their pictures with Fitting Taco. They're in the fitness taco in my mouth. They talk about tequila. And also, along that thing, what I was reading in the business section of the Sunday New York Times today was El Silencio. And I have tried to look it up on my places here in town that actually deliver. And nobody actually carries El Silencio and the river. The Riverview, the wine and spirits, actually just got Casamigos, the mezcal, back in, because I'm wondering if I order it, will they actually have it available for purchase? I may actually have to take a trip there. I'll probably end up doing that tomorrow after work, and just basically purchasing, because I'm interested in doing a comparison between Herradura, Casamigos, and Patron. I think I have a little bit of Patron here, but I also have to get the salt, because I'm going to be talking about the whole history of tequila and how it's now become a $9 billion international business. And mezcal is leading the way for that. So you'll probably hear, if you listen to that podcast, you're probably going to hear me talk about that, say that again, because that was absolutely awesome. But I'm also finishing writing, in addition to this podcast, just producing this podcast, I'm also making sure that I post every single day on WordPress. So every time that if you don't listen to the podcast, please go and follow me on WordPress, the Dale's Angels Inc. blog. Check it out, look for merch, but also just like or follow the blog, because that actually, by me basically posting content, is how I've gotten to the highest views since I basically joined back in 2009 and 2010. I think I'm producing better content now, but it's only with your help. Every time you like or interact with the blog, also just go ahead and follow me, because I believe I can get up to 10,000 likes or 10,000 follows by the end of the year, if every one of the person that streamed or viewed my blog would actually go and follow me. Because right now, I just made it over 100. I want to have 10,000 followers. And why can't I? If I'm actually producing, or if you actually are learning and you actually are entertained, and that actually encourages you to read what I'm reading, get a copy of this, get a subscription or get a copy of the New York Times, go out and buy Mad Priest coffee, go visit Agave and Rye, or navigate to Chatterbooks and buy one of the books that I'll be talking about later on in the show, because it's based on some show that I saw on Netflix, etc. Why not? Because I think that is the purpose of my podcast. I want to encourage you to find positive ways to entertain yourself and also to educate yourself from a biological standpoint, because that's why I keep doing the updates and on COVID. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and end this section of the show, and we can continue to listen to a little bit more of the Gap Band. Drop the Bomb on Me, again by the Gap Band, from their album Gap Band 4, again in celebration of the late Ronnie Wilson. I just also realized, as I've been listening to all of these songs, I was like, you know, I looked up all the titles on iTunes, and I was like, okay, I don't know if I remember this. And as soon as you play, the entering riff is like, okay, yes, this is like another song from the theme song for my life, or the title music for my life. So, and how this particular band basically influenced funk and R&B throughout the 70s and 80s and probably well into the 90s, and how it basically takes me back to happier times, and how healing music really is. And how it keeps you, it brings up memories, but it also is how you can exercise your mind. And I implore the listening audience to continue to exercise their mind by listening to music of their youth, because it'll make you think that you're all young, you'll get your bop on, but don't test it too much, because you will throw out a hip. I'm just saying, y'all. Just saying. But anyways, what a way to start this part of the podcast, what I'm watching, because there's been a lot of great things that are have been released for streaming on Netflix, as well as Hulu and Prime. In particular, thank goodness to friends of mine, Yvonne from Chicago, that basically hit me to this new Black Western, The Harder They Fall. I don't know how it did, because there was a limited release in the theaters, but it's now streaming number one on Netflix. It's starring everybody. Jonathan Majors, I think this guy, even though it was dissed on Prime, he actually is one of the lead characters, with his brother being the other outlaw, Idris Elba, who's looking kind of swole, but he looks good. But he's playing this part of a killer bank robbing outlaw in the American West. There's Regina King, Queen, Delroy Lindo, Lakeith. Everybody, it seems like and Dion Cole, surprisingly good as another outlaw sheriff. I absolutely love this movie, and I can understand why it's now streaming number one. And I'm hoping that these actors and actresses get their bag, that it's not just attached to the streaming, the release in the theaters, but it's also their contracts allows them to get proceeds from being the number one stream movie in the country. Because if they don't get their due props at the Oscars, at least they will have the bank account commensurate with the big stars that they are. Also streaming at number 10 is Colin in Black and White, which is a documentary about the life of Colin Kaepernick by Ava DuVernay. This documentary on so many levels is crazy. Number one, I knew that when you run the combine and all you could see 70, 80, 90% African Americans running the combine, it very much harkens back to how we were treated as animals during the slavery trade. Colin Kaepernick is not the first one to make that connection. I was more enthralled by how wonderful and luscious his fro is. That fro is beyond amazing. It is fabulous. I player hate and want to attain that level of froosity. That's all I'm saying with that. Also, what were his parents, adoptive parents, thinking of? Did they really think that their white privilege was going to protect this obviously black man from ridicule? And it was like an extension. Did they not understand? And I'm hopeful, because I haven't watched to the end, because I had to cut off at like episode 3 because it was getting on my nerves a little bit. Did they not even consider at this time how racist their attempt to bring this kid up, as well as what ill preparing him for what was to come in society, and letting a lot of the microaggressions and absolute racist decisions of all of the coaches that came into this black kid's life, how that was going to affect him. It just seems like their upbringing of this kid was completely clueless, and it was completely misguided. And if they had taken the time to make sure that they got him a well-rounded, colorful, and color-obvious and color-conscious life, that would have done more for him to prepare him for what was to come. And he had to go through so many things about a race and racism, and he would have been better prepared for all of it. But he got through it without getting the crap knocked out of him through the NFL. And I think he's in a better place now because he gets to basically focus on the work and focus on those things. But it would have also, he would have been able to pivot a lot sooner because he did have the bag from the short time that he was in the NFL. And he could have been, and it could have been a lot different. But I think as an advocate now, without getting the crushing bodily harm that could have been as part of his existence as an elite athlete in the NFL, he can actually concentrate on those things that can actually improve. And not only his, what he's trying to do, but uplifting the race and the violence against black people as a whole. Bravo. If this does not get Ava DuVernay an award, I don't know what's going on with the Academy. Also, a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure I am one of AMC investor, and through that communication, I was notified of a limited showing of Fire Shut Up in My Bones at the AMC theaters nationwide. I believe it dropped on October 19th, and it was such an enriching experience, even though I wasn't there because it was at their closing night. That particular play was a Black opera that debuted in the 140 years. It was the first time they had a Black opera open up the Met. The Met has been on hiatus because of COVID, and they used a Black opera to basically open up the new season, which I was wanted to be there for, but I'm not really feeling comfortable in society as of yet because people still are stupid. They're walking around with masks, they're walking around unvaccinated, and I'm terrified of the Delta variant. I don't have my booster because I'm not eligible at this time, but as soon as it is made available to me, I'm getting that bitch. I'm just saying. But anyways, I would have loved to go on to see the opening at the Met. Any reason to get dressed up in sequins, in nice shoes, probably flats because I have bad bum knee, but is a great thing to me. Well, I was, of course, Sunday New York Times, Arts and Leisure basically was talking about Trouble in the Mind, which is opening up today on Broadway after a 66-year delay. It's a play by Alice Childress as it basically highlights Black's experience in a white misogynistic theater and gotten rave reviews. I'm thinking with LaChance and all of the other stars in this Black cast by the Black director, by a Black playwright. It's like we're on this wave of reckoning. One of the Brown, I think he is Brown, one of the other supporting actors, basically saying this: there's a reckoning going on in a theater, just like we had with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor's murders back last year. And Ahmaud Arbery's trial is getting ready to start. And how we've had this false sense of progress. We had some starts and stops. But as far as the theater and Broadway, there is this reckoning and this recognition and why not. And we're being exposed to these other plays that we wouldn't have necessarily had exposure to because they're saying, okay, we need to darken up Broadway now, and now is the time to do it. And they're getting this great financing and being allowed to produce these great works of art. And I'm there for it. I have in the notes, the extended notes for the show on my blog, a trailer of the cast talking about the show. There are other things that are written about the show. I've basically ordered the select plays of Alice Childress because even with my degree and I've taken English Lit, I've never heard of this actress. I didn't even know that she existed or she collaborated with the playwright that wrote Raisin in the Sun. And I think it's just amazing what you will be exposed to if you just take the chance to actually do it. One, as an investor and also as a fluke, being exposed to the opening of the Met, A Fire in My, Shut Up in My Bones, I also get exposed to another Broadway play by a great playwright that was in operation from 1912 until she basically passed away in the early 90s, but now are receiving a rebirth, and I'm there for it. Also, I am excited about the debut of King Richard by, I'm going to have to go back to make sure I get everybody's names correct. This is not as violent, it's not even as violent as The Harder They Fall, but this is starring Will Smith and don't sleep on Anjanou Ellis, who plays Oracine Williams. This is the story about Venus and Serena Williams, probably one of the most famous and successful tennis players the world has ever seen. Their father, King Richard, and their mother, she was the one working the two jobs, creating the strategy, and contributing to the plan. 74-page plan. He, King Richard, and I'm sure that Miss Orosine helped develop with him, that produced these juggernauts of tennis that will go down as living legends, if they, because they are in their own right. But she actually had a lot to do with that too. And this actress has been in the game for 30 years, and she basically said that she really wants to continue to do plays like this. And not plays, but when she gets scripts, that's just, these are types of scripts that she wants to be involved in, scripts that make women like, black women like me proud, because she can relate to it. I did not know that she was originally from Mississippi. And I also read about a civil rights activist that almost lost her life just trying to vote. And she seems, being from Mississippi, I'm wondering if she's working with someone like Ava DuVernay, bringing either the documentary or a script like this for a limited series on Netflix or even Prime, Hulu for that matter, to life. Because I think she would play that role with finesse. Also, some plays don't translate into movie roles all that well, but I could also see her either playing the Life and Times of Alice Childress as her, or the main character, Willetta, the black lead actress in Trouble in the Mind. I think she would bring a new gravitas to that role too. So how cool is that? You know, it seems like everything that I read or everything that I watch on TV, somehow I'm allowed to be able to take the time to make connections between it and come up with ideas for something for me to write about or talk about, or potential, like what I would like to see someone with better talent, more talent than myself, absolutely see and bring to fruition. And I'm hoping someone get this to Ava DuVernay or to that actress, Miss Ellis, and let her know that somebody in Tennessee thinks she's the bomb and would be great for those two or more roles, keeping her in a job for years to come. And me in the black. Just saying. We all gotta get that bag. And I'm getting ready to wrap this up, to get up out of here. I got to get to getting, because I think I missed the kickoff. Dallas plays. Who do we play today? Yes, I subscribe to the Dallas Cowboys yearly schedule. There is a NASCAR championship at the Phoenix Raceway, as well as kickoff Dallas Cowboy at 1 o'clock. This is a Sunday afternoon filled with football and good eats. And that's the way I want to leave you, with Burn Rubber on Me by the Gap Band, in celebration of the late, great Mr. Ronnie Wilson, as well as a great episode or a great show. I don't know if it came across in the podcast, but again, I had fun producing this episode, and I hope that you will benefit from the production. Support a sister. Navigate down in the extended podcast notes and send me a donation, or become a patron. Or just contact me if you want me to showcase your restaurant or your product on the show. You leave a comment. If it's non-trolly, I'll actually talk about it in the show. And as always, I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I've enjoyed producing it. And chair dance with me to Burn Rubber on Me with the Gap Band. And y'all have a great Sunday. Bye now.